Log Talk Radio.
T minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and lift off.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the star.
Welcome, everyone, to Step Up and Speak Out with Trish. I'm Trish Springsteen. I'm a multi-international award winner, speaker, mentor, coach, author, and radio host. And it's my delight to be with you today. Businesses work with me because they know I can help them have the confidence and self-belief to leverage their business with speaking and communication. And that's what we're all about in my show, Stepping Up and Speaking Out. Numbers to check in if you've got questions. North America, if you're listening in, call in on 646-716-7979. If you're outside North America and you've logged in on tobtr.com/989-1161, follow the links to the chat box. You can put your questions in there. And, of course, you can PM me on Facebook and I will pass your questions along. Firstly, happy St. Patrick's Day to all those who are on the 17th of March. And for all those in the rest of the world who have yet to catch up, I hope you have a great St. Patrick's Day in your next day. Today is green, green and more green and lots of luck. And for those who know me, it will surprise them considerably to realize that today I actually am wearing green. Yes, there's a little bit of purple there because I've still got my purple hair and I've still got some other bit of purple, but I do have green on celebrating St. Patrick's Day. Even more, today in this episode, we are celebrating meeting our guest speaker, who is entrepreneurial expert Robin Nelson. Hi, Robin. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Trish. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely delighted to have you, and I'm really excited to speak with you very shortly. And we'll be speaking with Robin and finding out her story, from most unlikely to succeed to creating a life most people aspire to. So we're going to be discussing the industry she chose to do this in and the technology she works with. So I'm really excited to be talking to her about entrepreneurship and all the things that go along with that. But before we get to discussing with Robin, as usual, I'm going to be sharing with you the answer to a frequently asked question. And today's question is, what do you mean by repetition when preparing your speeches? Good question. Someone must have been listening into one of my workshops when I was talking about how you can really make your speeches spark. Because that's what repetition is. It adds impact to your speeches and makes them memorable. For example, let's have a look at Martin Luther King's speech. It's called I Have a Dream speech. Now, if you mention that speech to anybody, they'll know, oh, yes, that's Martin Luther King. Now, that's not what he called that speech, but because he uses that repetition of that phrase, I have a dream, all the way through, wherever he's starting a new point, what's stuck in people's mind? What's stuck in people's mind is, I have a dream. And so they connect that speech with him and it's become memorable. The other one that I'd like to share is Winston Churchill's speech. He has a lot of speeches where he uses repetition, but the one that most people can remember is, we shall fight them on the landing ground. We shall fight them on the beaches. And he goes on with, we shall fight them and we shall fight them and we shall fight them. And funnily enough, that's often called his we shall fight them speech, because he has used that phrase several times throughout that speech to highlight the points that he wanted. And that's what people remember. So using repetition, which is repeating several phrases or several words all the way through to highlight your points, does make your speech memorable. And you can use it in your business to highlight your speech, and people will remember it. However, as usual, there is a con side to all of this, and that is, don't overdo it. If you do it too much, or you're using it just to, for the sake of using repetition, and it doesn't really go with the flow of your speech, it's going to lose its power. So look at your speech. Look at your, where your presentation is. Look at your message. Look at the points that you want to get across to people. And then see where using a repetition and a phrase over and over may actually highlight that speech and make it memorable to your listeners. I'll be sharing tips, techniques, and strategies each show. If there is something you would like answered, email me on info@trishel.com.au, and then tune into the next show to hear your answer. And of course, you can always send me a PM on Facebook or catch up in one of my Facebook pages, and you can put your question in there, and I will answer that on the next show as well. Now, it's my great pleasure to meet our guest for today's show. Our guest is Robin Nelson, entrepreneur mentor. Now, Robin was a troubled teenager with a rebellious streak. Ooh, who doesn't have a rebellious streak? She began creating her life in her 20s and has gone on to be a success in her own right. In the late 90s, she spearheaded the launch of international author and speaker Don Tolman's food products into the Australian market and went on to tour internationally speaking about health and nutrition. She now invests her time in helping budding entrepreneurs build no-risk businesses and is currently partnered with an American manufacturer expanding into Southeast Asia and is looking for entrepreneurial-minded people who'd like to be involved in the early days. Hi, Robin. How are you? And welcome, welcome to the show on St. Patrick's Day.
Hi, Trish. I'm fantastic, and it's so good to be here.
Excellent. Wow. I'd just love to hear a little bit, I think, to start with, about how you went from this troubled teenager with this rebellious streak and most unlikely to succeed to living a lifestyle that, you know, we've talked about, which is a really great lifestyle. How did you get from there to here?
Well, it's a long story, and I don't want to make everybody go to sleep, so I'll try to keep it to the point. But looking back on it, it was probably a lot of work, actually, but at the time, I didn't think of it like that. I was a typical teenager that was hanging out with the wrong people. My association was very poor, and I worked at Expo 88 in Brisbane back then. I was 18, and when that finished, a lot of people were looking for work, and I looked around at my prior life before I got involved in Expo 88, and I thought, I don't want to go back to that. I was out at night being taken home by the police. My mother was not impressed, and it was really a bad place to be. So I packed a bag and I jumped on a Greyhound bus and I went to Canberra, and I stayed there for 7 years. And while I was there, I got an opportunity to manage some restaurants, and from there I got into personal development, and my life changed. I started reading books about changing your mindset and that you could be whatever you chose to be, and the rest is history. But it took some time.
Absolutely. And so today, what are you doing today? Where are you today with that change? Where's it taken you?
Oh, gosh, what did he say? My life is pretty much how I wanted it to be, but I had no way of knowing the twists and turns that were going to get me here. My life right now, I work for myself. I'm married. I have two beautiful children. I've worked around them for their entire life, so I've been able to be a full-time mum and have a career. I did stop working for about 8 years, and I had the luxury of being able to do that without worrying about money, so that was a blessing. And now what I do is I look for unique products from manufacturers that are technologically advanced, if you like, in the health world. And I partner with them to help them expand into new markets. And, of course, in exchange, I get paid nicely for doing that. So it's a real blessing to live the life that I live. I've got exceptional freedom.
And isn't that something we'd all like, exceptional freedom?
Mm, so- it is.
We're talking about a unique lifestyle. And people can look at that and go, wow, I'd like to be there. Have you ever owned a traditional business?
I have. I had one traditional business for a very short period of time and I lost all my money. So I decided I didn't want to do that again. Now, it was actually, I can't think of how long ago it was. My best friend and I started a company called Bling It. And it was around that time when Paris Hilton had a mobile phone crystallized with Swarovski crystals. And it was everybody had these beautiful crystals on their phones. And I looked at it and thought, wow, no one's doing that in Australia. So my best friend and I, and she's been in traditional business for a long time very successfully, we decided we'd pull our money and we'd do this, and we did. And we went to Swarovski, we got a contract with them, we got agreements on their products. And it was okay for a little while, but then it fizzled. So that was the only time I've branched out to traditional business. And I've got to say, compared to what I've always done outside of that, it is a lot of risk. It really is a lot of risk, and it's very expensive. I won't do it again.
I think if we were to speak to people, there'll be some that would say, oh, I only want traditional business. And then there'll be others who will say, oh, I need to be an entrepreneur and have my own business. I think there's a place for each, but I'm getting a feel from you which side that you would come on. So what makes it so attractive, other than the fact that you lost the money with the business, but what makes it so attractive with the entrepreneurial style that you have today and that you are helping others to have?
I think with what I do, I don't need a lot of money, so I'm not taking any risk. And when I talk to people who are budding entrepreneurs, or maybe they're entrepreneurs and they've gone down the traditional way and they have lost a lot and they don't have a lot of money to start again, I encourage them to look outside the box. Think outside of what the world tells us is normal, so-called normal, and don't be scared. Don't judge other things, because there are opportunities out there where you don't need a lot of money. I mean, my current business, I started with less than $100. And it's extraordinary to know that I can do that and create a full-time income, make life work, help other people and do all the things that I want to do. So you don't have to put yourself in a box. I think we need to expand our mind a little bit, realize that we all have a lot of personal power we can tap into, and then just let the ideas come to you without putting that judgmental filter up. And we do that without realizing, just because of social conditioning. And it's a knack, I think, or an art to stop doing that. But as soon as you start being mindful that you are doing that, opportunities might open up to you that you wouldn't have noticed before.
I think that's a very valuable gold nugget for our listeners there, because we do get ourselves into ruts, or we do box ourselves in. We either have a traditional business, or we work in a traditional business, or we decide to go out and be an entrepreneur and we do it in a traditional way. And sometimes we forget to look at what else can we do. So that's what you do when you work with people, isn't it, Robin? You help them get outside that four square walls and see what else and what other opportunities there are.
I do. I specialise in, I work with a number of people. I don't work with a lot of people at one time. I usually have somewhere between 5 and 10 people, because when you're working with entrepreneurial minded individuals, it's time intensive for a short period of time until they really find their feet, and then they fly and I'm just there for support. So I don't work with lots of people, but the ones I do work with, I really help to look at how can they create an income outside of what they're currently doing. So with what I do, they don't have to give up their primary source of income. They still have that security. They can maintain their current lifestyle, and then they can build up the other businesses while that's happening. And then they've got some choices down the track. If they have a secondary business that they've got that's not traditional, at some point they can sit back and say, well, maybe I can scale my hours back a little bit here, spend more time with my family, maybe take the time off and go on a holiday without their income dropping. So I'm into no risk, low risk, and helping to create that balance where possible.
I think I like the low, no risk and low risk.
So I do too.
I'm all for that. I think what also perhaps may attract our listeners, and what does attract me, is we're talking lifestyle to a certain extent, and we're talking freedom, freedom to choose. That's powerful, isn't it?
It is. It's powerful. And with a choice comes a lot of ability to help other people. I spoke to a man the other day, and he was saying, look, I really want to help people. It's not about money. And I thought to myself, isn't that an interesting thing to say from a business person? It's not about money. And for me, it's not all about money, but it's a really big deal, because when we don't have money, we're consumed with it. When we do have it, we're not consumed with it, and we have an ability to make choices that can help other people and alter their lives. And that's very powerful. I really like that aspect of what I do.
And I think that's another gold nugget, because we hear that a lot. A lot of people who care, who are passionate about their message, whichever business they're in, and they all say, it's not about money. I just want to be able to help people. But I think what you say is extremely true. You can't really help people unless you've got money. So it really is about money to a certain extent. You need that money.
Yeah, and I think the trick is with the money aspect, because a lot of people have blocks and fears around money, because we've been raised with sayings like, don't put the money in your mouth, it's dirty, or a lot of movies, when you think of a prosperity mindset, they paint a picture of the people with money are bad and the people who have less are good. And that happens a lot in movies, and society sort of does this to our mind without us realizing. And when you think of a lot of the good that happens in the world, a lot of people volunteer and do good, but there's a lot of people that have tremendous wealth that change the world without anyone realizing. And they do it in secret. You don't notice it, but you can't go and help a lot of people that don't have what you have until you have it.
And
I think people miss that.
That's absolutely true. I think it comes back, I suppose I often talk to about that very old saying, charity begins at home. And the reason I think that holds true a lot in our society today, if you want to be able to do good, you do need to have some funds, or you do need to have some expertise. You need to be able to put yourself out there before you can help others. And that sort of comes in also about looking after yourself, so that you are able to be able to do that. So for you to be able to give people that sort of mindset and help them, it's going to get them along on a long way. So what's your favourite thing about working with people the way you do? Apart from being able to change their mindset and that, what is it that really shines for you?
That moment when I help people get into the sort of businesses that I set up, I always say that they come in at a level of hope. They hope it's going to work for them. They hope they'll be able to do it, because it's a great unknown, especially if they're employed. Business people are a little bit different, but if someone's employed, which the majority are, it's a great leap. And they have this hope that it will work. And to see them blossom and grow from where they're hoping for the best to starting to believe it's going to come to fruition for them, and then hitting their stride and going, you know what, I can really do this. I'm good at this, and this is working for me, and I can really see a bright future for myself and my family. It's amazing. I love that. I love seeing the evolution of someone who didn't really believe they could have what they wanted to that opening of their mind where they realize everything they wanted is possible. It's not a dream. It's actually possible.
And that's what we've been hearing, and I'm hearing from underneath there, is it's this belief. So one of the things that you do with them is to help them with their self-belief, which is something that I do from a different direction, being able to have the competence and self-belief in what they're doing. So one of the things you're doing is giving them the self-belief that they have those skills, that the dream can become reality.
At the beginning, I do things for them. I do a lot for them, because when you start something new, it's like if you start a new job, Trish, you start and you've always got someone with you, a mentor or a supervisor or a manager that's with you for the first week or two to teach you first, then to, and they do it for you so you can watch them do it and you follow. And that's what I do. I do it. I grab them by the hand and I say, look, I will do it for you. You watch what I do. And then eventually people want to start to do it themselves as they that their belief goes up and says, well, I can do that. That's not so hard. And it's very exciting.
So you're the person that they find who believes in them until they believe in themselves.
Exactly. Yes. I think you've been overhearing. I might have a bug in my house.
Oh, no, I'm not overhearing because it's funnily enough, because that's actually one of my mantras, because that's what I believe a mentor does. And I think what you're describing is mentoring to start with. Because my mantra for mentoring is that I believe in you until you believe in yourself. Then I give you the strategies and techniques to be able to turn that self-belief into success. So I think that's why you and I connect very well. We're coming at
yeah.
slightly different sides, but we both have the same mindset in that respect.
Sounds like it.
Very true. So how do people look out for what's next in the marketplace? What are the signals? What can people look for to find this thing that they can take and turn their dream into reality?
Well, that's a really interesting question, and I don't know if I've got an answer for that. I think it comes back to having an open mind and believing at some level that anything is possible and that you will find the path that you're meant to be on. And that sounds very airy-fairy, and it is hard to describe because you have to shut the negativity out. So one of the things I started doing when I was young was I was always very busy when I was managing restaurants, and I didn't watch TV. I didn't watch the news. And I remember going into the restaurant one day, and one of the young kids that was working in at the time, he was 17, he was upset. And he wasn't doing his job well, so I sent him off and said, look, you need to go and have a break. And he started crying, and I thought, what's going on? Like, this isn't like him. And one of his friends came over and said, Robin, his father was sent to Afghanistan or the Gulf. It was when the first Gulf War started, way back then. And, you know, it was about 6 months before it ended, and I didn't even know it had begun because I didn't watch TV. And I remember, I can feel it now. This is how powerful our mind is. I remember the minute I found out there was a war happening, the fear that hit my body, it changed my vibration. And I realized at that point, we are programmed by what we hear and what we see. And I try even now not to watch the news because it sets you off on this pattern of following what they're telling you to follow. And some world events are really important to know they're going on, but a lot of the things we hear, they're not really relevant to us. They don't directly impact our lives. And if we want to move forward and grow in success, we have to filter out the negativity, stay somewhat positive, so that the opportunities that are out there can actually cross your radar. So I think maybe you need to turn your opportunity radar on by filtering out the negatives and having an open mind. And then you'll see them. As they present themselves, you'll see them. A lot of people have the opportunity, they don't see it.
Absolutely. Oh, I love that. I might use that phrase. I like that phrase, opportunity radar. Yep.
I think it's the first time I've ever said it.
I like it. Keep that word. Yeah, use it. Because I think it works really well because it explains what goes on. We don't see opportunities because we don't have our radar turned on and we're not set in a space to be ready for them or to take them when they come in. So I think that's a good phrase. So that's what people need to be doing, looking out for the opportunities, putting themselves into a good frame of mind to be able to see them. So if we're doing that, then what do you think, what's the process people should be doing? Say someone sees a really good opportunity out there.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is the next thing, the next step they should be doing to be able to maximise that opportunity?
Okay, firstly, they need to identify who they have to talk to express an interest in it. And then, instead of rushing in full of excitement, which is what a lot of people do, you need to do your due diligence. I always get those words mixed up. Mm-hmm. So you've got to do some research. And depending what you're doing, I mean, I think it's all the same. If you're partnering with an established company, which is what I like to do because then I have no risk, they wear the risk, I want to know who are the founders of that company. Do they have any business experience? And if they do, are they well respected in the businesses they've been in before? If there's a product that involves any research, scientific backing, I want to know that the scientists involved have good credentials. I mean, what I'm doing now, I flew to America and met with a scientist. I met with the founders of the company. So this is part of the due diligence. Especially if you're going to put up capital, if you're actually going to do something like take out a mortgage against your house or a second mortgage to finance a business, this is even more important because you've got more to lose. So find out who's behind it. Then find out about their ethics. Are they of good character? If they're a family, if they've got a family, are they well liked within their family? Or if it's a man, are they a tyrant? If it's a woman, is she a tyrant? I mean, both of us can be tyrants. So you've got to find the character of the people, and then even though you think, well, I'm going to have my own business and I won't have to do much with them, everything starts at the top and filters down. So if you're working with or involved with people in a partnership that have a good mindset, that have belief, they have that the ability to believe in you while you find your feet within that business structure, that may be the right thing. And then if it's a product-based thing you're looking at, use the product, get a result, have a personal experience so that when you're out in the marketplace talking to people and they ask you, you don't say, oh, well, I don't know, I don't use them. You say, they're fantastic, these are the results I got. So I would start with a due diligence on who runs it, then look at infrastructure and take it from there. Just talk to people. If there's other people that have been in the business that are still there, find out their experience. Just talk to as many people as you can and find out as much as you can.
Excellent tips, because I know that a lot of people sometimes get excited about the opportunity and they see it. They've been open for it, so they get excited and they just jump in because they don't do that due diligence. And I've seen many of them, they jump in and then very quickly drown, probably would be the word, or they get out because they're not sure and they haven't realised what it is they've got to do, or they haven't found someone like you, Robin, to be able to hold their hand while they're learning the ropes on what they're doing.
And I've done that. I've jumped in and a couple of years later it all wasn't as rosy as I'd have hoped it had been. But it is, and if that does happen to someone, it's all a learning experience, and you have to pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and just put one foot in front of the other and go again, because we take on things so personally in this life and things happen, they do, and you learn. So if you're in your 20s and you're listening to this, you think, I'd love to get into business, if you do make what you see in this current reality a mistake, just remember that everything is temporary. So 5 and 10 years down the track, you will look back, and I feel like I'm old when I say this because I had people say this to me when I was young. You will look back and you'll say, I know why that happened. I learnt this from that. It made me smarter. It made me more resilient. So all of these experiences are there to teach you something, but the key is not to wallow in your own self-pity if things do fall apart, because life's not about all good. You've got to have the balance. It's good and bad, and you've just got to manoeuvre your way through it.
Very true, very true. We'll just take a pause there for a moment and I'll be back with Robin Nelson very shortly. Just a reminder with you, if you are here and you're listening in North America, you can call in with your questions and you can call in on 646-716-7979. If you're outside of North America and you're listening in on TOBTR facebook.com/989-1161. Follow the links and put your questions into the chat room. And, of course, as always, you can PM me on Facebook and I will pass your questions on. This is a St. Patrick's Day, the 17th of March here in Australia, and will shortly be for all those who have not quite reached the 17th of March and my other listeners. And today we are speaking with Robin Nelson, who is an entrepreneurial expert and, I would say, an entrepreneur mentor. We've been discussing with Robin how she has managed to get her life to where she wants it to be, in a lifestyle that she is extremely happy about. We've been learning how to think outside the box, that you don't have to be in just a traditional business or even just being a traditional entrepreneur. There are opportunities out there. And we've coined a new phrase, which we both like very much, called opportunity radar. So people, get your opportunity radar turned on, see what's available out there. And then we've also been discussing that once you've identified an opportunity, some of the things that you need to do to make sure you do your due diligence, not talking to people, finding out, researching the infrastructure, looking at what others have to say, using the product or the service that you're wanting to be using and talking about, using it yourself and getting that personal experience. Well, just before we went to that break, Robin was talking very much in depth about learning experience and that nothing really is a failure in of itself, as long as we look at it and take something from that as a lesson and as an experience. And I have to agree with you, Robin. I mean, I've looked back on things and, yes, there's some things I've done that worked and some that didn't work. But when I look back on it all, everything that I've done has given me opportunities or experience that I've been able to take to the next thing, which then has taken me to the next thing. And I'm very sure that I would not be where I am today, speaking and doing what I love, if I hadn't been going through all those life experiences and adding them on. So what you say to our listeners out there who are saying is very true. Nothing is a failure. It's all a learning experience. Which brings me to you, ask you, what are the insights and lessons that you think that you've learned along the way that you could share? I know you've been sharing some of them, but what were the main ones that you would like to pass on to our listeners?
Oh, the biggest one, the Mac Daddy of all, is that the only person you can ever control is you. That's the biggest one for me. It changed my life, and I struggled with it. I struggled. I was always trying to get people to do things the way I wanted them to do it and do what I wanted them to do, because of course I thought that would achieve my goals faster. But it seems to work the other way. And for anyone that's into mindset training and being mindful how energies and vibrations work, you'll understand all of this. I don't teach that, and I'm just learning about all of that. But the more you push, the more people pull away. So you can only control you, and that's everything. How you react or respond, and whether you react or respond in a situation to any given person on any given day, it can change. So you've got to, Tony Robbins says you have to change your state. And I really like that, because in the eye, when you're standing in the eye of the storm and everything's swirling around you, a lot of it's in your own head. It's usually not that external. It's all internal. Our processes just run crazy, and we blow our top, which is an old expression from a long time ago. And if you stand there and just think about your goals, what you're wanting to achieve, and quiet it, try to quieten down that voice in your head, and realize it's not the person that didn't do what you wanted them to do. It's not their fault. The person who said something that aggravated you, that's just who they are. You need to accept that people are just people. We're all sharing this unique human experience, and you've got to let go of this desire to control what other people do and say, and just focus on you. Because when you control you well, you'll find everybody else falls into line. They just do, because they want to follow someone who's in control of them. If you're in control of you, other people will be drawn to you, because it's a rare experience to find someone that's like that. Most of us, we're not taught that as kids, and I think we should be. I think in school, I teach my girl this, and I'll say to them, what's the only thing you can control when they complain about someone at school? And they roll their eyes, they're 12 and 8, they roll their eyes and go, me, mum. Yes, thank you. So what are you upset about? And then you can see their energy shift. It calms them. So that's probably the biggest thing.
Absolutely agree. It's one of the things I actually teach with my mentoring clients. Because Sir Laurence Olivier said it in a rock opera called Time. It has a really great piece there that I play, because it's extremely motivational. And he does say, he says, the only person who has absolute control over your attitude is yourself. And that's, if we all learnt that, and I agree, if we were all learnt that, then there'd be, I reckon, a lot of less hassle in the world, because that means how we respond to things. We control how we respond and how we act. And it's one of the things that we talk about when we talk about difficult questions and handling difficult conversations and negotiation and conflict. It's how you react to all that which you can control. You can't control anybody else. So if we're both controlling how we react, then I think we can come to an agreement a lot easier. And, wow, your daughters are going to be one step ahead of everybody else if they take that on board.
I hope so. I'm trying to give them some shortcuts.
Which is, well, leads me to the question I wanted to ask. What are your hopes for your children's careers? What are you hoping for them?
Oh, gosh. I'm just a normal mum. I just want them to do what makes them happy. And I want them to... I hope that they grow up knowing that they can do anything they want to, and knowing that whatever they choose to do, they have my support. So whether they decide to be Mother Teresa, I mean, I know no one can be Mother Teresa, but volunteer and give of themselves like that, or whether they become a CEO of a Fortune 500 company, or whether they follow my path and do what I do, whatever they want to do, I just want them to be happy and do what they truly find happiness with, so their passion, following their passion.
And that's a really great basis and foundation that you're giving your children. I'm going to ask you a question bouncing off that.
Yeah.
Today, do you think children today in schools are actually getting that foundation they need to be able to be all they want to?
No. That's a short answer. No,
I have to.
There are so many things. I mean, I've read, I couldn't tell you the number of books I've read that are on personal development. Up until between the ages of about 22 and 33, I hadn't read a book other than a personal development book, and I read a book a month. So I've read a lot of books on personal development, and I don't see anything in those books being taught in schools. And I think our children are going to leave school and be in the mindset of an employment age and a job market that has changed so much over the last 20 and 30 years, and it'll change even more in the next 10. So if you imagine, our education system right now hasn't changed very much in the last 10 or 20 years, other than they've got computers and the technology. But our job market has. There are a lot of automations happening. There aren't as many jobs that are hands-on. The whole system has changed. But these kids, they're not taught to go out and think for themselves. I think the education system tells them what to think and how to think, or not how, but tells them what to think, where they should focus a little bit more on how to think. How do you question? How do you do due diligence? How do you do effective research? How do you believe in yourself? If someone said something to you that started a pattern in your mind when you're young as 5 or 6, what are the techniques you can use to reverse that pattern and live a life of joy? These are skills that many of us learn as adults, out of desperation. And if we had been given those when we were young, we would have been happier sooner, I think. in our careers and in our relationships in all areas of life.
Absolutely. I have to agree with you there. No, I do. It's something I talk about a lot because I see it happening. And I guess I have a view as well in that we seem to be going along a path where we're trying to make everybody equal at school and no one wins and no one loses. Unfortunately, when you come into real life, there are winners and losers, and our children are not prepared to cope with that now.
And I read something on there's an article that came through on Facebook about a month ago, and it's a video, and it was a man talking about that, and I didn't agree with all of it, but the topic was a little bit inflammatory because it said this is what's wrong with this generation, and I don't think there's anything wrong with anybody. People are people, but. The topic was great because he was saying that a lot of young adults and the 17, 18-year-olds and even young 20, 21-year-olds leaving uni or college in other countries, they're leaving the school environment, the educational system, and because of our reliance on social media and technology, they haven't even got those basic skills to create a functioning friendship in the real world. They don't know how to handle disappointment. And I think that's what you're pointing to, Trish, is the participation awards. They've got to at some point be able to learn the skills to handle disappointment because we all know we're faced with disappointment. There's nothing you can do, but it comes back to controlling you. And we could go round and round because I think it comes back to learning how to control yourself emotionally and be responsible and live in harmony with everyone else. Oh, I agree. I agree with everything you said.
So if you had one day in the school system to be able to put in place something that could change for the school, what would you do?
That's a big question. They'd have to give me 3 weeks at least. I would teach kids that the only person they can control is you, and I would try to instill in them the concept of they have their own power inside of them and they need to not be afraid to use that power. I don't know how I teach that to children. I've started to with my kids, but I'm very cautious because I know I'm moulding the next generation. And I thought about this earlier before we got on, and the book I read years ago was called Power Versus Force, and I don't remember the author, but it's a great book because when I talk to adults about using their power, a few words come up, aggression, anger, and some people have a distorted view of what power really is. And again, Anthony Robbins, you've got Dr. John DeMartini, they talk about personal power, and it's more of a knowing. If you want to do something, know that you don't need anyone's permission to do it. I mean, as long as it's not illegal, it's not hurting other people. You don't need everyone's permission. It's not a democracy. You are your own being. And I'd like to teach children that in a way that doesn't make them unruly and disobedient. But I think learning that you can only ever truly control you, and that's important, and that you have a lot of personal power, you need to protect that and use it. I think that'd be the two big things I'd try to teach them.
Thank you for that. Just, I think, yep. We can get that in there. I like your comments on the personal power. The personal power, from my point of view, I have to agree, it's not, people always see power as a negative, but it's not. It's a very big positive, because if you've got personal power, then that's what drives your confidence. That's what drives your self-belief. And that's just what drives where you can actually be. So it's not a power as a negative. I see it like a, it's really hard to say. It's like a light shining, a light energy that you've got. It's just gives you that confidence to be all you want to do and stretch out and put that opportunity radar to effect. Yeah. So maybe we should do a day.
I know. I've thought a lot about this with the schools and with talking to my own daughters. They're 12 years old. I mean, she's at the point now where I need to get a handle on all this, but I think they're pretty switched on because I have conversations like this with people all the time, with the mentoring work that I do in business, and I walk around the house with my headphones on and they hear it. So hopefully there's a lot of subliminal programming going on with the girls.
It's a fine line though, Robin. We want them to have their own power and their own attitude, but we also want to be able to share that with them so that they can take it and do what they want to do with it. I think it's not easy being the generation they are. Yeah, and I have to agree with something else you said too. We sort of say, oh, this generation, they're wrong and they're hopeless, they're not being... we're then giving them words that we're trying to make them live by. We shouldn't... It's those casual words we use, isn't it, that can affect people's lives, the throwaway words. So all those people out there talking about how this generation is wrong and they're useless and that, they're only trying to self-perpetuate a problem. They should be looking at how they can help them have the self-belief in themselves rather than say they're wrong.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't have... I think the average age of people that I work with now would be, I would say mid to late 40s. And the last 2 weeks I've met with a couple of younger people in their late 20s, early 30s. And I've got to say it's very exciting because I find that they don't want to be confined. And that's what I find really exciting about this younger generation. I'm 48, so... I remember being young, and I think that's a bit of a skill I love, that I can vividly remember being that young. And it's exciting to hear them talk because they're not confined so much in their own heads like I was when I was young, thinking I could only be that or I could only do this. These younger people from 18 right through to 25, that sort of age bracket, I think their mind is a little bit more open and more expanded. And it's probably because of social media, because of the access they have to information. And to tap into that as someone who's older is really exciting. I can just see 20 years of such excitement in business with this next generation and the one coming because of their thinking patterns. They do think differently.
I agree. Because we hear a lot about social media, that the young generation spend too much time on there. But there is a very big plus side to it. And I think the plus side is exactly what you've just outlined. It does give them an openness and access to information. Yeah, I know we've got to take a lot of that information with a grain of salt sometimes. But it does give them that openness that, I mean, I'm a bit older than you. So I can remember a generation where we didn't have computers as such. I guess that's giving my age to all my listeners. But I remember there was a time when we didn't have that access, that easy access to information. And I think that's what has, from my point of view, is the positive side for the younger generation. They do question. They do have access to information. And a lot of them have that excitement that they have in their minds. Okay. We could talk for hours, I think.
We could.
But the time is clicking away. It's clicking away very quickly. Two quick questions for you. First one, what motivates you? What gets you up in the morning?
Helping other people to get out of their rut. That would be the simplest way to explain it.
Absolutely.
I don't know if I have time to elaborate.
Well, I think some of what you've been saying, we've been talking about, highlights that. You're talking about them being able to see those opportunities and have that self and belief and confidence to get out of their rut. And that's a great thing to get out of bed for in the morning, the change that you can make. This next question I wanted to ask, and it's what I ask all my guests, what do you think makes a great speaker and why?
There's so many answers to that. I have to pick one.
Yeah,
what do I
think
makes a great speaker? Gosh. I think being relatable, being a normal human being, so that people can see you and say, I understand where she's coming from or where he's coming from. And they can relate to who you are as a person, not necessarily your story, but who you are. And I think you need to show people who you are when you speak. And, yeah, I think that would be it.
Thank you for sharing that. It is. It's being genuine, being authentic. Yep. Being that.
Yep. You should have answered that question.
If you could do that, then you're doing well, which is what you have been sharing and being authentic with us on the show today. It's been brilliant to have you share those insights, a little bit into the entrepreneurial mind, into a little bit into being an entrepreneur mentor and where you can take people. So where can people find you if they want to know more about Robin and entrepreneur opportunities?
I've got two Facebook pages. I'm not very good on social media. So for people that are really good at it, you can probably give me some pointers. I'll go to your pages and have a look. But you can find me on Facebook under Robin Nelson Fan. That's my public page. It's R-O-B-Y-N. And I think it's on the station page. So Robin Nelson Fan. Or just Robin Nelson. And the actual name on my link is Aussie Robin. Because I'm an Aussie.
Good one.
And I couldn't think of anything else.
Well done. Look, listeners, if you want to know more and want to speak more with Robin, which I would urge you to do if you're thinking of being an entrepreneur, if you want to look at something out of the box and see where your opportunity radar can take you. I'm going to use that word. I like it.
You are.
Then do get in touch with Robin. Have a conversation with her and see what she has to help you with. Thank you, Robin, for being on the show. I'm absolutely delighted to have had you.
My pleasure.
As I said, we could have spoken for more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, people, before we go, as usual, I like to finish the show with some quotes. And I've got a couple today. Actually, I've got three. My quotes, as you might have known if you've been listening to me regularly, and I've been actually sharing my guests and sharing myself with you for over a year now, which is really excellent from my point of view, I usually relate to my guest or the discussion that we're having. So this one is from Steve Jobs. He's really good for quotes. And it says, quality is more important than quantity. One home run is much better than two doubles. Now, that's referring to America's lovely favorite pastime of baseball. But I get what he's saying. And I think this is something that's been highlighted by my discussion with Robin, is that go for quality. Choose the opportunity that resonates with you and find the people that will help you maximize that opportunity. The other quote I'm going to share is by Nolan Bushnell, who is an entrepreneur. And it goes, the true entrepreneur is a doer, not a dreamer. So you may dream all you like, because that's where you start, but you need to turn those dreams into action. And that's what Robin has been sharing with you today, how to do that. She's given you some processes on, once you've identified an opportunity, how to do the due diligence on that and to make it work for you. Now, the third quote that I'm doing is because it's St. Patrick's Day. So I had to put something sort of Irish in there. And it's by Reba McEntire. And it says, to succeed in life, you need three things, a wishbone, a backbone, and a funny bone. And I think those three things highlight my life. They highlight Robin's life. And they highlight what can be a successful business. Wishbone for dreaming, backbone for doing action, and a funny bone to enjoy your life. Enjoy what you're doing and have fun doing it. You've been listening to Step Up and Speak Out with Trish. I'm Trish Springsteen. You can contact me at info@trishel.com.au. Connect with me on Facebook under Trishel Innovative Communication Training or Trish Springsteen Speaking. I'm all over Facebook. Look for the purple lady. If you'd like me to come and speak at your meetings or an event or a conference, or book in for a 15-minute discovery session with me where we'll look and see how you can add speaking and communication to leverage your business, whether it's an inbox, out of the box, or something in between, or a combination of both. Speaking communication underpins everything you do, so let's see how we can leverage it and take you to the next level. I hope you have a great St. Patrick's Day. Wear green today, or wear green tomorrow if you're listening overseas. And watch out for my next show in a couple of weeks, same time. You've been listening to Step Up and Speak Out with Trish. Have an awesome day. Bye.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.